Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Horsham. This message is by Clive Urquhart.
We're going to, for the next few minutes, just hear from each congregation, or the leaders in each congregation, and there'll be a bit of an update as to what's going on in what God is doing, but also one or two testimonies as well in terms of what's happening. And then I'm just going to share for a few minutes. There's some really exciting things ahead of us that I'm going to share this morning. So have you know that God is good? And as we walk with him together, we always walk into the more of God. We have the fullness of him, but yet we grow in that fullness. And he leads us step by step into more of who he is and what he's doing. Amen. So firstly, Kevin and Sharon, is Sharon coming as well? Kev. Now, Kevin and Sharon, they're the pastors of the Burgess Hill Congregation. Let's give him a massive round of applause.
All right. Thank you very much. So as Pastor Clive said, we lead the Burgess Hill congregation, and things have been going well over the last year in Burgess Hill. We were trying to reflect as we were preparing for this upon everything that's happened in 2024. And God has been really good. It's really been a year of growth. And I'm not even talking about numbers. I'm talking growth in people. We've seen loads of people taking their next step in their discipleship journey and deepening, taking intentional steps to deepen their relationship with God. And that's been so great to see. And you see that come out in all sorts of settings. That's happened through Freedom, through DNA, through Church in the Home, and them getting involved in that in various ways. And it's been so beautiful to see. I get more joy to see people released into who they are called to be than doing it myself, if that makes any sense. So it's so great to see people stand up in the fullness of who they are called to be in Christ and grab hold of their calling and just start expressing that life through them and blessing the body with that, isn't it? So we've really seen that happening more and more throughout 2024. And actually, I want to invite Andre up, who's going to share a little bit of a testimony of what's been happening in his life and his family's life as he's been tuning into some of this stuff.
Thank you very much. When we immigrated from South Africa, it was if a part of ourselves stayed there, and I thought that was a burden that we're going to carry for a very long time. And in the first session in DNA, I could feel that burden lifted. And when it lifted from me and my wife, I actually realized how heavy that burden was. And that was just another reminder that God is the God of the impossible.
Thank you, Andre. Thank you so much. See, it's so important, and you're going to hear about all these things a lot more, but so important to give of yourself to the purposes of God and plans of God, because in it, you might not realize exactly what you need, but he lifts off burden, he shapes, he molds, he changes, and he gets you ready for your next step. So that's exactly what these guys have experienced, and it's been great to see. We've also started having youth in Burgess Hill. We work in tandem with another church there, and just this Friday, we had another girl that said, hey, I've prayed the prayer. I believe Jesus is my Savior. And you know, those one stories is one plus one plus one, but it's so encouraging. So we were really pumped on Friday because that girl has been taking steps and steps and asking questions, and it's come to this, you know, point of, I want to pray the prayer. I'm in. So that was great as well. So great things are happening in Burgess Hill, and we really believe in that 2025 will be a year of strengthening and continuing from 2024. So we're expecting for more of all of that. Amen. Thank you for listening to me for 2 or 3 minutes. I'm going to call up Worthing, who are going to share next and say what's happening down there.
Thank you, Kevin. If you don't know us, my name is Kai. It's my beautiful wife, Andrea. Where you are? This doesn't usually happen, but okay. We are really excited for what God is doing in Worthing. And if you haven't been down, come visit us by the coast. Beautiful there. But before I share a little bit what has been happening in the last kind of 8 months or so, just a scripture for you that you know, but this is the message version, and just hear that different flavor of it.
So in Isaiah 54, it says, clear, it's the Message translation. Sometimes when you look in another translation, it just makes it, whoa, is that, it just jumps out on you. So clear lots of ground for your tents. Make your tents large. Spread out. Think big. It doesn't say think little. It says think big. Use plenty of rope. Drive the tent pegs deep. You're going to need lots of elbow room. Lots of elbow room for your growing family.
Can you do that to your neighbor? You'll need room. Now, I know this is us in Worthing, right? But you can have a bit of that too. It's the one that says, increase is coming. Now, for us, that word that when Jane was sharing, Pastor Jane, last year, that was a real word of faith. Because we didn't in the natural maybe see increase at that point. And I just want to share you the story just briefly. So around spring, summer last year, we were meeting in Worthing College, which is the north end of Worthing. And we just felt God say, let go of that building. And we're like, and anything else you want to say, Lord? Right, okay. And he said, no, like a seed needs to fall into the ground and die, you have to let that go. But hear me right? Imagine, we're not saying this, right? But imagine on Sunday morning, someone stands up and says, we're not going to meet in this building next week. I mean, obviously, we took more time to explain and we took people through. And there's a whole preparation of what that was going to look like. But we really felt God say, you have to let that go for me to do something that you haven't seen before, right? So the word of increase was like, right, we've got this space where we could have 150 people. And you, God, you're saying, let go of that. And so what God, we felt God say to us, because he never just says stop. He always gives you a next step and something else to step into. We felt him say, meet in homes like the other church, Acts, or home hubs, whatever word you want to use, Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves, you would know that scripture, to what? To prayer, to fellowship, to the teaching of the word, to breaking bread, food, fellowship. So we're like, right, let's try work that out. And we really felt God say, strip everything back to what really matters. So we let go of setting up massive speakers on a Sunday morning and PA desk. And we were like, right, our home's open. Come, we have breakfast and we pray and we worship and we see what God does. And to be honest, the times, how many special times we've had with just the raw and the real Jesus, right? Where everything else doesn't matter. You just come into that room and just, right, let's worship. Right, we need to pray for this. Okay, you have a meeting here. So it was such a, I think, rediscovering what Acts must have been like. And obviously, we were on that journey. But and then God said, you know, meet outdoors sometimes. So over the summer, we would go to Goring Gap where we do the baptisms and we would just pitch our tent and have a service, right? Let's worship. People will come and join. Oh, yeah, you're a church. Can we sing along with you? Yeah, of course. Come. But be public. Be a city upon a hill. But we also knew with that word, that wasn't going to be the end destination. Obviously, multiplication is in our heads and hearts. Many homes across the South Coast. That's our patch down there. But equally, we really believe God wanted to give us a bigger space. A bit like this, where people gather and things happen to them be sent out. And just end of last year, and we're going to step into this building at the end of February, 23rd of Feb. Thank you, Jesus. It's a community center in Durrington, if you know Durrington. It's at a massive, massive Tesco, loads of people, 24/7 probably. At the end of the car park, there's this beautiful community center, different rooms, so busy. There's so many people there all the time. Our neighbors go there Monday evening. So it's the place in the middle of the community. And we really felt God say all of last year, go where the people are. But the door never opened, and now it's open. And so maybe when you pray for us, pray for that increase, because this is you're plowing it in prayer, and now we're stepping into it. So we're really excited for that in this year.
Amen. Amen. We also wanted to actually give a bit of testimony. So last year, we will do it this year again. We love the course Freedom, don't you? Yes, very good. So we've got a couple, Kurt and Angelica. They just want to share a quick testimony about what God did to them, in them, with Freedom. So yes, you can give them an applause. Angelica, would you like to talk?
Hello, my name is Angelica and I'm here with my husband Kurt and we're from Worthing Congregation. Woohoo! So I need to write it. This or else I'm gonna speak all day. So we both did the Freedom course last year, which was led by our church leaders, Kai and Andrea. And I can tell you that it was one of the best decisions we made. Over the course of 12 weeks, we laughed and cried while sharing our stories of struggles and victories, which led us to have deeper connections with each other. God revealed so many things to me, which I thought I have already dealt with in the past, but in reality, I was only avoiding them. Freedom has not only helped me acknowledge what my problems were, but also taught me how to deal with them in a practical and biblical way. We had a roller coaster of emotions while doing the course, and then, ta-da! It was the encounter weekend. Honestly, I was feeling excited and nervous at first, but on the day of the encounter, I was feeling more nervous than excited as I didn't know what was going to happen, even if we were given a heads up on what to expect. Then it was time for us to go in this room, and everyone was cheering for us. And of course, me and my husband were cheering for ourselves. Usual. Where am I? And I'm excited. Oh, hold on. It's actually difficult to explain everything that happened one by one, but what I can tell you is that when I was looking at everyone in the room, it felt like I was having a glimpse of heaven, of how heaven looks like. And I'm excited to do that for all eternity. We were worshiping and praying, and people praying for us as well. It was just amazing because you can really feel God's presence in the room. Freedom really did free me and broke the chains I didn't know. Well, God, through freedom, free me and broke the chains I didn't know that were there. And it was only because of what Jesus did on the cross for me. So thank you, Jesus, and I love you so much. If you're thinking of doing freedom, just do it.
Yes, hello. My name is Kurt. I'm you already know. So yes, I wrote mine down as well. So attending the Freedom course with my wife was one of the top highlights last year. Throughout the course, we have covered topics that have strengthened my faith, deepened my trust, and fully surrendered everything in my life to Jesus, the way He surrendered His life to save me from my sins. Each week was a revelation as we understand and discuss together with our group the wisdom and the love of God. Beginning from week 1, which talks about the tree of life, until week 12, which talks about worship. Spoilers. All these things were done to equip us for the encounter weekend. After the encounter weekend, I am now more secured and at peace going through life because I know the love of God. And I live in His truth that He will never leave me nor forsake me, and His goodness and mercy will pursue me all the days of my life. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, 1, 2, 3.
Freedom! Thank you, guys. So yeah, freedom, you will hear about it more. I just want to introduce Victor now, who's in Crawley congregation. Here you go.
Wow. Oh, good morning. I was about to say good afternoon. Good morning. It's been a great, wonderful 2.5 months. For those who are not aware, I took over as a Crawley congregation leader and pastor on the 27th of October. And the weeks since then, a lot has happened. I found a wonderful, vibrant bunch of people who love the Lord so much. And I can say God put so much in my heart about what is going to unfold in the, you know, maybe coming weeks and coming months. But there is one thing that He put so strongly in my heart that I thank God because it's also beginning to manifest in the meetings that we are seeing about the kingdom of God. Establishing the kingdom and the rulership of God, not just in Crawley, but in England, in Europe, and all over the world. Yeah. And we thank God for that. The Bible says that righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, that is the kingdom of God. And we're beginning to see that unfold. It's been wonderful. We've had wonderful prayer meetings. We've had wonderful outreaches. People have gotten born again. People have made commitment to Christ. We've seen healings. We've seen deliverances. And although we don't have people to come and testify here, I just want to highlight two things that God has done. I don't know if Godwin is in the house. Godwin gave us a powerful testimony one day about how God recently rescued him from a flood. As in, he was going through a flood, the car got filled with water, and it was almost as if he was going to drown. But he prayed to God, and he called on the name of Jesus, and just miraculously, the car just came out of the flood, and he survived. Now, it might appear as normal to most people, but he was in that situation and he said, had God not come through for me, I would have died in the flood. Another one is, we were praying on a certain Wednesday night and one of our congregation members, Rina, are you here? See, I can't see, the lights are blinding me. And she sent an SOS call, you know, 911 kind of a call, saying, I'm running to the hospital and my daughter is dying. Now, she called my phone. I didn't see her calling. Of course, I was praying. Called a few other people. I think Elsie is somewhere around in the congregation. Called a few other people and we just stopped everything. And at that moment, we intervened. And she made her way to the hospital. It's a long story, but the daughter had been in labor for a few days, and there was an actual distress. It was as if the daughter was going to die, and then born baby was going to die. We prayed, we intervened, we called upon the name of Jesus, and at 1 a.m., she sent us a message saying that God has done it. A miracle has happened. Two lives have been saved. So we thank God. And there is a lot happening. So in terms of what we've been doing in Crowley, we've had Alpha. We've finished that. We're now doing First Steps. And we also have our usual Saturday outreach meetings. Three Saturdays in Crowley, in Broadfield. And then one joint with Horsham team in Crowley Town. And God has been doing amazing things even during those outreach moments. We've been having wonderful Sunday services. And God has put in us a theme for this year in line with what we are doing as a church. And I just want to highlight that as I got to invite Colin to come over, that God has given us a five-pronged attack to 2025. That this is our year of divine contentment. It's our year of divine favor. It's our year of divine direction, divine health, and divine abundance. Five things. All of them are based on putting first things first. Proverbs 1, read from verse 1 all the way to verse 10. If you prioritize fidelity to the word of God, truth, and obeying his commands, then you are guaranteed of divine contentment. If you prioritize trusting God and surrendering to his will, you are guaranteed of divine direction. If you prioritize the fear of God and shunning evil, the Bible there in those verses guarantees you divine health. If you prioritize honoring God with your treasure, time, and talent, the Bible there promises you divine abundance. If you prioritize, lastly, walking in truth, walking in integrity, faithfulness, love, and loyalty, I like the Amplified Version, the Bible guarantees you divine favor. So that is it in Crowley. I believe that I'm beginning to think and suspect that God lives in Crowley and visits elsewhere quite frequently. So we welcome you to join us at Holy Trinity on a Sunday morning if you're within Crowley Town. But again, it's good to be back home. And I would like to invite Colin to tell us what's happening in Horsham. God bless you.
Well, praise God for the doctrine of God's omnipresence. Amen. So it has been so exciting to see the way God is moving in our midst and just hearing everyone sharing. And just the first word I think was shared was the growth. And this sense of God growing us all as his disciples, as his followers, as these like apprentices of Jesus, learning to look like him, be like him. And I was just reflecting this morning, thank you, Jesus, for being in this place. This is the place with all of you that I feel the most alive, the most myself, the most who I'm supposed to be, the most sense of God's like closeness and call. And it's not the atmosphere of the worship. It's this being together and seeing Jesus in one another and just this encouragement. And I'm so thankful that as disciples, we grow spiritually, relationally, and missionally. And we're seeing God do that in our midst. And relationally, it's been wonderful to see the way just God's been moving in hearts of let's live this out with one another, opening our homes, opening our hearts, being vulnerable, just really loving one another well. I had a great encouragement from a couple the other day. They're relatively new to the church. They had a baby recently and they've been blown away by the meals people have been bringing them, the way they've just been so blessed and loved so well. And it's just so encouraging to see people getting such a welcome, people being loved into the church. It's been amazing to see so many people sharing this sense as they've been coming of coming home, of family, of the family of God. And we particularly, I've heard lots of testimonies of people recently saying, either they've been in Horsham a long time, not part of any church, and God's really stirred them, saying, it's time to be part of my body. It's time to get plugged in. Or maybe they've been part of a church somewhere where they've known a sense of religion or religious duty, but not really relationship with God. And it's like God's been waking them up, saying, I've got more for you. I want you to know me. And praise God, they've been coming to Kingdom Faith and they've been finding Jesus, relationship with him. And God gave me this verse at the beginning of this year that I just think is wonderful. It's from the Message. I'm going to paraphrase the first word and the rest I'm going to quote verbatim. It says this: this is plain enough, isn't it? You are no longer wandering exiles. This Kingdom of Faith is now your home country. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here with as much right to their name Christian as anyone. God is building a home and he's using us all, irrespective of how we got here and what he's building. He used the apostles and prophets for the foundation. Now he is using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. We see it taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. And that has just been so wonderful to see God doing that, whether that's through home hubs or, as I say, people just opening their lives and their homes. And so relationally, we've been seeing growth. Missionally, we've been seeing growth. It was amazing, again, to run Alpha this year and see people come to that, come into the church, come into getting to know who we are, who Jesus is. And everyone saying how much they loved it, how wonderful it is, the experience, the fellowship, the getting to know people, and they're getting to know who God is and just becoming more and more part of this family of believers. I'm thankful to all the leaders who've been involved in that. We've seen Horsham Outreach start to really pick up and take ground, and testimony after testimony each month of what God is doing on the streets of Horsham, and even more yesterday. And then spiritually, seeing faith grow, seeing people saying, how can I know God more? I want to see a release of the prophetic more in my life. I want to see prayer release more in my life. It's just a sense of faith building. And a part of what God is doing in that, in building faith, I would like to invite Hule to come up, if you are up where there you are. Let's just welcome her. And you have a testimony you'd like to share with us. You want to introduce yourself and what God's done in you.
Hi, all. My name is Hule. I just want to say thank God. I still remember the date was 1st of December. And usually I work every week, every other weekend. And that day I can't go to work because I'm having problem with my toes. So since 4 years, every winter from December until February, I can't walk at all. So all my toes are swollen and they get in purple color. And the doctor can't say why this is happening. So they say to me, maybe it's a gout. I think it's pronounced like that. And literally, it's very, very painful. On that day, I can't go to work, and I came to the church. And Pastor Clive was praying here. I was sitting out the back. I had so much pain, and literally, I can't stand up. I sit on my chair. And that time, he said, there is a person here who is having problem with their toes. And I start crying, and he's saying, Jesus' name, just believe that your pain is going now. And at the same time, it's literally 1 minute after that, I feel how my toes was better. And I was saying to myself, what's happening? Because I know you praise and then it needs to take time until you get your results. And literally that time, it was 1 minute after that, I feel how my pain is going away. And then it was Sunday. In the morning, I need to go to work. And I get ready for work and I put my shoes on. And then, because literally it was very painful when I wear my shoes. And that time, I put my shoes on and I said, oh my God, I can walk properly. I went to work and my manager was watching me behind me, because literally when I walk, I can't walk at all, but I still go to work. So that time he come to me and say, what's happened with your toes? You can walk now. And because they don't know God, I say, I went to the church and the pastor was praying for me. His face was just like this. He was thinking I'm crazy, and then he just walked off. But then since that time, I bought these shoes 4 years ago. I wasn't able to wear them. But then next week, I just said to myself, let me try my shoe, my new boots, because I never wear them. I tried them on, and even now I can walk, I can wear what I want. It's just amazing. And just want to say thank you.
Isn't that an amazing testimony? Thank you. Thanks, Hula, for sharing that. We can just start thanking God for some new shoes as well now. Well, yeah, just want to say thank you, Jesus, for all you're doing and continuing to do in all of our congregations. Father, thank you for what you're doing in Horsham. And Jesus, we want to just give you all of the praise and all of the honor and all of the glory. Thank you, Father. You are so, so good. Let's welcome Pastor Clive.
So good, eh? Oh, thank you, Jesus. We're blessed with our all of our congregation leaders and pastors. They are just godly people. They love Jesus. They love you guys. And they give their lives for who we are and for Kingdom Faith and the vision that God has given us and everything else. And Jane and I are so, so thankful for all of the men and women that have been up here, for everybody who's on the staff team. We had a few hours as a team at the start of the year, just praying, sharing. And for my wife and I, we're just like, man, we're so blessed with the staff team that we have, the team of people that serve all of us and give their lives, lay their lives down in different ways. And just really want to honour all of these guys who have been up here, plus all of the team. Some are full-time, some are part-time, and some you'll know, some you don't know, depending on where your congregation is. But I'm just so thankful. And then I'm so thankful for you. This might not be the easiest church to be part of. Hopefully, as we've heard, it is a church that's very loving. But sometimes it's not easy to be in a church where we just constantly want to move forward. We want to press into God. We don't want to live with mixture in our lives. We want to live according to the Word. We constantly want to press into God. We want to know Him. We want to worship Him, honour Him in every way in our lives. We're living not for ourselves. We're living for our neighbours, our work colleagues, our communities. We're living for the towns we come from, the region we're in, the nation, to see a move of God. And sometimes it might not be easy to be in a church like we are, because we just want to be relentless in our pursuit of God. Amen? We want to be relentless in our pursuit of God. Amen? And all that He then wants to do through our lives. So... Now, I just want to, the message will be intertwined in a few things I'm going to say, just to help us in different ways with some really practical things in the life of the church, but also some things that God is saying. And then I'll come to one or two other things, one thing that's going to happen a bit later in the year. I love these stories because it talks about the now of God. We're finishing our prayer and fasting these 2 weeks. We're going to have more regular times of prayer and fasting through the year. Often in prayer and fasting, God speaks to each of us. He speaks to us, works in our hearts and lives. Because what does prayer and fasting do? One of the things it does is God calls us in to then live a more of a fasted life. What does that mean? Maybe there are things that you were doing before the last few weeks. I don't necessarily mean sin as such, although there could be some things like that God's dealt with. But we easily get used to living in a certain way, a certain pace. We get comfortable with it. Then when you have a time of prayer and fasting, because it's more about putting some other things aside and seeking God, it gives God a bit of space to speak and to work and to move in our hearts and lives. And you find, I'm not happy with that. I want to move forward. I want to change. I'm going to let that go. And there's some recalibrating, whatever, in our hearts and lives. And God's always calling us to live a fasted life. A fasted life from what? From being contaminated with the world in any way. Or just being comfortable with certain things when he's speaking to us to give ourselves more fully. And so this year, or the normal Christian life is to live a consecrated life. That's the normal Christian life. That's not just for the few hardcore Christians. You know, well, I'll just do this and the hardcore guys can live consecrated. The normal Christian life is a consecrated life. Now, we, as a church, we have something called a discipleship pathway. The Great Commission is go and make disciples. And Jesus said that when the disciples, he said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you're going to receive power from on high. And that power is then to fulfill the Great Commission, to go and to make disciples. And then he says, teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you or shown you. And so we have a discipleship pathway in the life of the church. Does anybody know what that is? The first step is... No, God. Okay, it's in big letters out in the hub there. The first one is... No, God. The second one... Oh, my word. We're obviously not doing a very good job with you guys. Okay, so our discipleship pathway is what? No God. Live in freedom. Discover your purpose. And then. How does that work? This is such an encouraging morning up to this moment. Wow. All righty. So our pathway, our discipleship pathway is know God, live in freedom, discover your purpose, make a difference. Why do we have that? Because we constantly want to be moving forward with God in our lives. It's a walk with God. It's a walk with one another. And we're to reach into the world to see him transform lives. Amen. So we have this discipleship pathway because we want people to come to know him, be born again. We then want people to live in freedom, be set free from all of their past, from all the baggage, all the stuff that can dealing with all the negative, so that then your life can be full of the positive, to know who you are in Christ and then to move forward, to then begin to discover who I am, what my purpose is, why I'm here, what does God want to do through my life, and then go and make a difference. Now, all of us are on that pathway somewhere or other, okay? But also, God wants all of us to be investing in one another on that pathway, so that we're all growing relationally with God, we're deepening relationally with one another, but we're also growing in our effective witness to the world. That's a disciple of Jesus. Disciple of Jesus, you grow spiritually, you're growing relationally, and you grow in your witness and fruitfulness, reaching out. Amen? That's a disciple. That's the nature of a church, to be like that. And so, just want to clarify and help you, because if we obviously haven't done a good enough job with you guys, you think, I don't even know what the pathway is, then you hopefully you're going to remember some of this stuff in relation to the pathway. Now, we want people to know God. Now, people can become a Christian in loads of different ways, through your witness in the workplace, or you invite people around for dinner, through something like Alpha, or through outreaches in the community, in the town, through something like Little Builders. People get invited to that. They might come to something else. That might be a pathway to somebody coming to know Jesus. There's loads of ways people can come into that relationship. Once people know Jesus, the first thing that we do with new believers is called First Steps. I should have had a book up here, but we have a book, a course that was written, developed over the last few years by Colin and Andrew Sains. Where's Andrew? Andrew Sains, you're here somewhere. Andrew, he's on the staff team. He's a phenomenal writer. He's brilliant. And these guys developed this course, and it's called First Step. So when somebody gets saved, as part of that know God on our pathway, The first thing we do, people, is you need to do these first steps to get some really basic steps into you understand. So who is God? Who are you now as a Christian? What is the church? Why am I part of the church? What does it mean to be in the body? Who is the Holy Spirit? Why do we need the Holy Spirit? Just some and to be baptized in water and everything. And some simple, really first steps. And we're every new believer, we take through that. Then in our pathway, the next step is to live in freedom. Now, there's a number of different things on there, but the main thing in that or tool that we use in that is freedom. And you've heard some of the stories from the couple who the 12-week kind of course that you go on, you get into the Word yourself, then you meet with a group. For those who've done freedom, you know what it's all about. You go through that together over 12 weeks, 13 weeks, and then the encounter weekend is such a powerful time. And what does freedom do? It deals with the negative. It gets rid of all the baggage. Because when you give your life to Jesus, you become a new creation. You become a new person, right? So we want to make sure that everybody who gives their life to Jesus deals with all of the baggage. Anything that Jesus says in John 15:2 here, he cuts off everything in me that does not bear fruit. So it deals with everything that stops you moving forward and can stop you becoming fruitful. Is that all right? So we had John 15 in our message for the year, which is really the overarching scripture, if you like, that we're going to be living and working through as a consecrated life through this year. So he cuts off everything, anything that stops us bearing fruit, he deals with. And freedom is part of that, okay? So anybody that gets saved, first steps, then freedom. Why? Because we want to invest the life of God in you. We want to help you grow in your relationship with God. We want to help you move forward so that whatever God does in you, you can then help someone else to experience and come into the same revelation of God that you have. As long as you're one step ahead of somebody else, you can lead them where you're going. Are you there? If you don't know where you're going, you don't know how to lead people. If you know what God's done in you, so therefore, once you've done first steps, you're going through freedom and you're reaching out to a friend or a family, whoever it is who doesn't know Jesus, as they're giving their life to you, you can be like, hey, I'd love to help you with first steps then, because this is what God did in me. This is what happened in me. So you're on the pathway yourself, but you're also investing others who are now coming on to that discipleship pathway with God. Is that all right? Are you with me? So what is our pathway? Know God, live in freedom, discover your purpose, make a difference. All right, brilliant. Now, if you're new to the church, so you might have already been a believer. You've moved to the area, you're looking for a church, and God wants you to be part of, he calls you to be part of Kingdom Faith. You might have been locally a Christian, as Colin said, and you haven't been anywhere and you're connecting in here. This has become your kind of family now, spiritual home. Anybody new to the church, you that's already a believer, that discipleship pathway, once you've done sort of grow and you've understood this is who the church is, the vision, the heart, what we're all about, you know, why we are like we are. Why do we worship like we do? Why do we pray like we do? Why do we preach and teach like we do? What's the vision we have? Why do we have that? Why are we all guns for Jesus, right? So when you realize, okay, yeah, I want to be part of that. Some people go, that's too much, sorry. So it's like, well, okay, but we're just going for Jesus. Is that all right? So your first step after grow is to go through freedom. Because we want to make sure in your life that you're not carrying any baggage so that you can move forward in everything that God wants to do in your life. So if you're new to the church, freedom is your next step. And we're going to encourage you to sign up for freedom and all that God wants to do in you through that. Now, what does that do? It sets you up for how God wants to then move you forward in your life. Okay? So when you move in to discover purpose, we then have something called DNA, which is something we've been cultivating, developing over the last few months, okay? Now, we want to get the DNA of who God is in every person. And there is a DNA in who we are as Kingdom Faith. Some of that DNA is that revelation of who we are in Christ Jesus. The old has gone, the new has come. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. And all that means, I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. I'm an heir with Christ. You know, the blood of Jesus has totally set me free. I can have confidence to worship, to pray, to be who God has called me to be. Amen. All of that stuff. And who Christ is in us. We want to help people become people of faith. Without that in Christ revelation, it's incredibly hard to become a person of faith. Because if you don't know you're loved and accepted, and it's not about performance and what I try and do for God, if you know that everything he's done is for me so that I can live in who I am in him, then that's a brilliant foundation and platform to then become a person of faith. Because when God speaks, you believe it. Why? Because you're not still being drag anchored by your past, because you've been set free from that. And now you're free to move forward in who God is and all that he wants to do in and through your life. Amen. And so DNA basically is over 3 months. It's one Saturday per month. And in between, you're in a small group that meets every other week for an hour or so, just reinforcing what you're getting into in terms of the word and everything. And DNA primarily covers in Christ Jesus. You read the In Christ Jesus book over those 3 months. We go through that on the Saturdays, not just through the book, but we teach and activate things in your life. There's aspects of faith that we invest in. You know, you're really becoming that primary faith person. God doesn't want you to have secondary faith where you live off someone else's faith. He's called you to have a primary faith, a relationship with him, hearing his voice, knowing what he's saying, being a believer that's primary. And then there's an impartation of who God is in you through into someone else's life, whether saved or unsaved. Amen. So in Christ, becoming a person of faith, and we really invest in prayer. How do you become a person of prayer? How do you pray? How do you break through? How do you intercede? And really invest in you to strengthen your prayer life and to help strengthen the prayer dynamic in the life of the church, because you become stronger in prayer and connected with that, a worshiping person, okay? Now, so once you've done freedom, so anybody in the room here, you've done freedom, we want to encourage you to do DNA, okay? Now, it's an investment into your life, and it's investment into the strength of the life of the church. See, a church is only as healthy and as strong spiritually as the health and strength of what is going on in you and in me individually. Because what we bring when it comes together, it's always going to be more than the sum of the parts, because that's how God works, right? But if all of us are investing in our relationship with God, in our relationships with one another, and together, then what does it look like to reach into our respective communities or neighborhoods or towns or wherever we are, the region? What's it going to look like? God is already at work and God is moving, and it's exciting what he's doing. But there's more that we're pressing into with God. So I want to encourage you, if you haven't done freedom yet, sign up for freedom. And get involved in what God does in that. If you haven't done DNA, then next week we'll give you dates. It's going to be March, April, and May, okay? The next one, DNA, that we're going to be running. And I'm excited about what God does, because in John 15, in relation to that, it says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves. So what are we talking about? We're talking about becoming more and more fruitful, cutting off all the stuff that stops fruitfulness. What does it mean to be pruned? Because we often think that pruning spiritually is there's a moment where God just prunes us, and then we have a, you know, if you're walking with God, God's constantly doing bits of pruning in your life, right? It's an ongoing thing. It's called relationship with Jesus, right? And why is that happening? So that we're constantly increasing in fruitfulness, in more fruitfulness. It's not that there's a season of pruning and then a season of fruitfulness in the kingdom. We're always called to be bearing fruit all the time. So he's constantly just working here, working there, doing that, helping us here, transforming us by the renewing of our minds. We're walking with him. Why? Because he wants to be more fruitful, more effective, okay? Right. Make a difference. Last one. Now, we've been talking a lot about church in the home or home hubs, okay? And that's going to become even more of a conversation, activation through the year across all the congregations in terms of what God is doing. Community of people, sharing life in each other's homes, inviting others into that life. And all of the stuff I've just talked about builds into the strength of who we are as a community of people and the life that we have, okay? Home hubs, we'll talk about those on Sundays over the next few months and how they're working out and how you can be part of that. But just before I show a video for something, God's been speaking to me during the prayer and fasting about the now of God. And God is at work and God is moving. We've had some really powerful encounter evenings. And some of them have not been just the usual sort of time of worship that we might have had. Some of them have been like really strong in more like praise and declaration and release of God. And something different happens in you when that is going on. Often when it's more worship focused, it's quite easy to be quite comfortable in that, where you can worship, you can be there and you're just enjoying God and you're singing, you're worshiping, you might be on your knees and he's there and he's moving and it's like, wow. You know, but God is bringing a strength into who we are because of the days that we're in, the challenges that there are in the world and the kind of church that God is raising up to be in this world, okay? And to stand out in this world. And some of these encounter nights were very much like the worship teams and were just brilliant during the last few weeks. Just thank them and honor them for the way they lead. It's not easy being up here or leading people in congregations sometimes because you can feel pretty vulnerable. Standing up somewhere and playing and singing and going for it. And when you look out sometimes, you know, some people are obviously going for it. And then other times you look out and some people are kind of... And they're pouring their hearts out up here and they're going for it. And it's not easy being up here when it's like, come on, everybody, do you want to love Jesus? And you know, and they're just... Anyway, so... But God is building a strength in us. Sometimes when there's times where... It's much more like breakthrough, pushing in, you know, all of that. It requires something else in here that starts to... And all this discipleship pathway is to help you grow in God, become strong in God, not in yourself, but strong in God and effective in our lives together. And the now of God is in relation to prayer. We heard some testimonies. When people prayed, things happened. Somebody got healed. Somebody's life was saved in a hospital. That's the now of God. And I believe God wants to encourage us that when we pray, things happen. When we pray, things happen. The primary reason we don't pray is because we don't think anything's going to happen, so we don't. And the enemy is sitting there going, great, I've convinced them their prayer isn't going to work. And so we don't pray. And God wants to fuel faith in our lives so that no matter what the enemy says to us, we're just going to go, I'm sorry, mate, but that's not true. I'm not letting my feelings or emotions or your taunting put me off because I know something else. I know who God is. I know what his word is. And when I speak this thing, when I declare his word and pray in the way he wants me to, things shift. Things have to change. Amen. It's called the now of God. And he wants us to be much more expectant that when we pray, things happen in that moment, things change. Now, sometimes when we're praying, especially as we start praying more towards people being saved this year, and we're going to have a big push into Alpha for the autumn, there'll be some other Alphas through the year because there might be in a congregation or through the first half of this year or through a home hub or something, you're reaching out to a few people, you've got 3, 4, 5, 6 people that are interested in it. So you run that as a home hub where you can run it in a congregation in a smaller setting. But in the autumn, we're going to push into like a church-wide Alpha where we're going to pray. We're going to have some prayer and fasting into that. And over the summer, be praying into that and inviting people. What would it be like if we have 50, 60, 80, 100 people giving their lives to Jesus in the autumn, mate? Amen? I'll say that again. Now, we're going to have Alpha in the autumn, right? And as a church, we're going to pray. So we're going to... So we pray sometimes because we need to hear from God so that faith gets released in us, right? To believe what he wants to do. So that obviously needs to happen in all of us. So when we come into the autumn, our expectation, not somebody else is going to invite someone, but I'm going to invite someone. Jane and I are currently doing that in our street and praying into some things, and we'll give a story another Sunday. And yeah, so there's some things just beginning to stir. And so we're excited about what God wants to do, but let's all be, I'm part of the Great Commission, and I'm going to see people saved this year. Amen. And so some of that prayer is going to prepare the ground of people's hearts. So you know the parable, the ground, stony, thorny, hard, whatever, through to soft soil. You know, the prayer breaks up that ground. The seed's the same. The seed's not the issue. The seed of the word, the gospel, is the same. It's powerful. But it's the ground that it goes into that determines the effect of it in someone's life. So when we're praying, some of it is to prepare the ground of people's hearts. So that's what some of the prayer is. But as we're praying, we know stuff's happening. And sometimes when you pray, God will show you what he's doing while you're praying so that encourages your faith. So that when the gospel is then shared with that person, it goes into the right soil to then produce a harvest. Is that all right? Okay, brilliant. Now, so we just want to strengthen you guys spiritually. We want to strengthen relationally and then in our witness, this discipleship pathway. Now, we're going to kind of just jump quickly into something else. How many of you know about Big Church Festival just down the road in Wiston House? Do you all know about that event? It's a massive Christian family festival. It has happened at the May bank holiday. It's now moving to the August bank holiday this year. And I just want to play you a video because we've been given a very, very generous invitation and opportunity by Tim Jupp, who runs that, and his team. So have a look at this video and then I'll say something about this afterwards.
Big Church Festival is the largest Christian festival in the UK, where tens of thousands of Christians come from all over the nation to celebrate 3 days together in the fabulous grounds of Wiston House. Now, Big Church Festival have made such a generous offer to Kingdom Faith, saying, hey, would you like to gather your Kingdom Faith family to be part of the Big Church Festival weekend, and we'll give you a space in the mornings in the Big Top worship venue to gather together. You can worship, you can have word, you can have ministry, but just a space to be together. As a leadership, we prayed about this and God spoke to us from Nehemiah chapter 8. And amazingly, it says in there that the people came from all their respective towns as one, and they worshiped the Lord together and bowed down before him. They listened to his word and responded to all that he was saying. And in there, it says that they ate the choicest of food together and enjoyed sweet drinks in a whole context of celebrating and being together. And so we really believe God has spoken to us to say, hey, use this opportunity to encourage and gather the Kingdom Faith family together from all over the nation for a weekend to be together at Big Church Festival with a dedicated space that we can be together in the mornings to worship and get before God together. So whether you're part of a congregation in Sussex or in Yorkshire, down in the southwest or in London, or part of the Kingdom Faith Apostolic family in some way as a relating church, a partnering leader, or a partner that supports us regularly, we want to encourage you. What about coming together for a weekend and just celebrate together, be together, and all that God wants to do amongst us as part of the Big Church Festival? To find out more and to book in, go to kingdomfaith.com/BCF, where you'll find all the information of how to book and what's going to be happening over this wonderful weekend. Look forward to seeing you there.
I'm excited. It's going to be really good. When we were first asked, do we want to have this opportunity? I was a bit like, oh, Lord, you are going to have to talk to me, because I had Faith Camp in the back of my mind. You told us so clearly to stop Faith Camp. And as a leader, you know, and when we just got before the Lord and I said to the Lord, you've got to give me a scripture. I'm not going to say yes or no based on, oh, I sense this or I think that or I think I've heard the Lord. You've got to give me a scripture. Either say yes or make it so clear. Keep away. Don't go anywhere near that, right, in terms of us doing something. And when he spoke to us from Nehemiah, it was just such a confirmation. The people came from all their towns. The word of the Lord was read together. They all responded to that. When they worshiped, they bowed down. It even says in that chapter that the word of the Lord was spoken from a wooden platform that was erected for the occasion. And in that worship venue, there's obviously a stage erected for the occasion, and it's in the middle of that. So it's in the round in that sense. And then it even talks about, and they all stayed in their temporary structures. Well, you're going to camp, you know, it's camping. I mean, there's so much in there. It was a bit like I sat there, you know, read this, and I was like, okay, Lord, I think you're saying something here. So we've been in conversation with the Kingdom, other Kingdom Faith churches and some of the partnering guys. And Pastor Paul leads Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. We sent him all the information at the end of the week and the video and everything. And then that night he texts me and he goes, I've already signed in. I've already booked in. I'm ready. My whole family, all my grandkids, we're already booked in. So he's like, he said, we're going to cancel everything for the whole weekend, shut our building in Scarborough, and we're going to make it a church event and all come down here. And he said, somehow, I don't know how we're going to make it, but that's what we're going to do because we just want to be together with everyone. Isn't that amazing? So all of that has gone live. The booking has gone live today at 11. Have we got the little flyers, Saints? Yeah. So we've got loads of little flyers. You can grab one out in the hub afterwards and you can book in. We've got a brilliant price from the big church guys for being there. Now, obviously, you can camp. You don't actually have to camp. I know we're a bit more local. Some people are definitely going to do the I'll come down every day type thing. But I'd encourage you, and Jane and I, we're going to be camping. We're going to be down there. And not in a tent, but we'll be down there. I can't do that. Camp, you can be in a little camper van, right? That's camping for me, all right? Anyway, so they've given us they've given us an area. We're all going to be together. I don't know how many people are going to be coming. It's going to be brilliant. But we're going to camp together. We'll have the mornings together, and then just hang out and with people over the rest of the weekend, during the rest of the days, but each morning. So yeah, it's going to be just a fantastic time. We'll obviously talk more about that, but the booking thing is live, so you can book in for that. Is pretty simple and self-explanatory. So how many of you are looking forward to being part of that with all the guys from all over the country? And you know, so you can't just buy a ticket for the mornings. Well, I'll just come to the mornings and forget the rest of it. You just buy a weekend ticket, okay? And it's up to you how much, you know, you come to the whole thing. But we're going to be together. I'm really looking forward to what God wants to do over that time. Now, there's something else just want to just focus on for the last few minutes before we close. Now, we're all aware of the fires that have been going on in Los Angeles. We know people in that area. Obviously, our eldest son lives about an hour and a half south of where all the fires are. He knows people up there that have lost their homes. Aaron Jane, who's pastor of the church, that whenever we go, you know, I speak there. We've been friends for 25, 30 years. He used to be based in Los Angeles, working in the Dream Center. And he knows loads of people there that have lost their homes and lost everything. And so Jane and I were like, we need to just give anybody who wants the opportunity to give towards helping to people out there. It's very easy to see what's gone there thinking, well, it's only wealthy people that have really been affected, you know, because they focused on, you know, film stars talking and they've talked about the wealthy area, and it makes it sound like, you know, it's just all the rich folks have lost their homes. Now, that's a tiny part a tiny part of the amount of people that have lost their homes, people that have got nothing at all. It's not like they've got a second home or third home somewhere else they can go to in the meantime and all of that. And so we've been in contact with the Los Angeles Dream Center. If you don't know who those guys are, they own a whole city block, which was a hospital. They bought the hospital years ago, completely renovated it, and they've been reaching out to the homeless, to drug addicts, to all kinds of people for years and years. 600 families live as part of the Dream Center, okay? So since they've been reaching out, they've helped 50,000 individuals so far with all their relief work to do with the fires. They've helped over, they're just beginning to help just over 100 families with rebuilding their homes. So somewhere they've not, the house isn't completely burnt down and flattened and all of that, but the house can be rebuilt. They've already been getting resources and things to start to help. They got amazing people as part of the, do all sorts of things. But and then there's two schools that they're beginning to help rebuild two schools. It's amazing, isn't it? And so we really felt we just want to give anybody who wants to give towards that. So the money will go to the Dream Center and it will go directly to helping people. We haven't got any pictures this morning, but I had a picture they sent me the other day on my phone of their parking lot, as they call it, and it was just full of massive pallets of all kinds of things, from food to water to clothes to all kinds of things. And they just have this line of cars and lines of people coming into the place to get stuff, because they've got nothing. And they just need support and help. So if you want to, if you go to obviously just Kingdom Faith Church /give, that will take you to the page. And if you want to give something in the reference, can you put LA gift? Okay, so that we know that's what it's for, all right? Now, if you want to give this morning while you're here at the hub, is this how it's going to work? At the hub, people can give. Can somebody tell me? Okay. So if you want to give cash, you can do that at the hub, okay? If you want to do, but we'll need to know it's the LA gift that will go towards the fires, okay? It's very easy. It's not top of the news agenda now. It's gone. I don't know if you watch the news now. Some of you might be sitting going, well, that was last week, wasn't it? Haven't they rebuilt everything? That was history now. The devastation is phenomenal there. And so we don't want to forget that it's about lives, not about what the show on the news in terms of fires burning. But it's about the lives that have been affected. So if you want to give something towards that, you can do. As a church, from our own mission fund, we'll give something from that as well. But we want to give everybody the opportunity. You know, even if you give a fiver, you know, it's going to go and help some people who have lost everything. What some of the things we've been told is, because of the fires, insurance companies have been pulling the plug on insurances and all sorts of things. So where people thought their house was insured, it's not insured, or they've pulled it. And there's all sorts of things going on where people, and literally they're like, well, I'm told that it's not going to be rebuilt because they've cancelled my insurance because of this. It's not covered because of that or this. There's so many things like that going on. And so whatever help we can give is going to really bless people. Okay, should we stand for a minute? Kev will come up in a sec with a couple of last practicals. Let's just stand to our feet. Father, we thank you for all that you're doing amongst us. We thank you for this couple of weeks of prayer and fasting, all that you've been working in our lives individually and together. Father, I thank you for all the stories we heard, just that are just a few about what you're doing in people's lives. People becoming believers, people getting healed, people being set free, delivered in different ways. We thank you for all that you're doing, and we know there's so much more. Father, we thank you for one another. That this year, the love that there is amongst us would deepen. Amen. even more. That whoever we reach out to, or whoever might come across the threshold of any of our buildings, or the threshold of our homes, that we would not have any judgment, criticism, or condemnation, or anything like that towards people. But like Jesus did, he looked into people's eyes with eyes of love that penetrated down into the depth of their being, not with any sense of rejection or I'm not good enough or worthy, but actually that drew them to him. And they wanted to know him. And Father, we thank you that you're in us by your Holy Spirit and that you enable us to love one another like that and love those who we're reaching out to like that. Because once we were all sinners, far off from God, but it was in that state that you came and you died for us and made it possible for us to come out of that life into all that we have now in you. And we thank you, you call us to be the same for all of those who don't yet know you. So Father, we just pray that that love would flow amongst us and flow through us every day of 2025. We thank you, Jesus, in your glorious, mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.